Hello everybody, guess who it is, Mike C, Energy Performance Certificates with another podcast today. Before we start, I just want to announce that hopefully we're going to do one more show at least before the launch of August the 1st when HIPS and EPCs become live. Basically just to mark the occasion really, and why not? Everyone's had a terrible long wait, and this should be a bit of a celebration if nothing else, and we can look back over what's gone on and what's going to happen in the future. And I'm going to be joined by a couple of guests who shall remain nameless at this point, but I was just throwing it out there, if anyone wants to send in a message, then please feel free. We'd love to hear from you, and we could air those points on the air. So I'll give you an email. It is podcast@energy-performance-certificates.org. I'll repeat that. podcast@energy-performance-certificates.org. Love to hear from you, and I probably won't get a single reply to that. So I'll just make it up, as the forum seems to have a number of pseudonyms. I can make them up as well on air, can't I? Okay, so on to this podcast. In the week that Yvette Cooper formally announced that she used to smoke cannabis, we ask, is she hip or is she hip-free? I know if you were here, you'd be laughing out loud now. It's a shame I can't record you all, I'm sure. But to answer that question, I have a leading expert on the subject, Linda Gray. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
I'm fine, but just a bit worried by the leading expert handle.
Are you hip, Linda?
I'm very hip. I'll be even more hip on the 1st of August.
Let's hope so. Well, I wanted to get you on basically because it's been a bit of a week for you. Well, a couple of weeks, in fact. We had the formal announcement of your trusteeship, if that's the correct word, to the IHI, Institute of Home Inspectors. And then the beginning of last week, there was, of course, your meeting with the CLG. I should just say that today is Sunday, the 22nd of June, 2007. This is pre-recorded, really, because this won't go out until Monday, tomorrow or Tuesday. Just saying that. Where should we start? Should we start from the beginning with the announcement of your trusteeship?
If you'd like to, yes.
How did you get on that? Because I know you put a lot of thought into this, and I think a number of people know this, because now it's going live. A lot of people are now starting to say, right, we need to be represented, because there's a big gap between what domestic energy assessors have been expecting pay-wise and what the reality probably will be with the introduction and of all these new panels and all these middlemen, as people call them, coming in, driving down the price that DEAs will get. And we've had representatives from that side of the industry in the name of Christopher Rogers, Alex Rogers, and Quidos, Philip Salaman. But so now we might as well put the spotlight on this as well now. So tell us how you got involved and why.
I had for a little while been thinking that we did need to pull everyone together. I felt very much a one-man band, felt that I would be more effective if I could have a network of the right people to work with. And I had several people come to me, several even suggested I start up my own institute or organisation, and I don't think those people understand just the work that has to... You can't just start an organisation overnight. I knew Tony Gordon. I know he's done a lot of good work. Most of it is unsung, because a lot of the work has been laying down the foundations. To start an institute, you have to actually show that the industry needs it. You have to get big players in the game to back you and say that you are responsible people to do it, and it takes some time. And they've got to a point, I think, where they just elected 12 regional board members, whole new tranche of people were going to be there working out there for it. I didn't want to start my own up. I don't think I'm capable of it, and I certainly haven't got the time on my own. I had other opportunities put to me. This just felt best one. I just think it's been started up in a very responsible manner, and it's something I could help them build upon.
Where does that leave your lobby group?
Well, this is one of the areas of concern I had, Mike. I've told people in the lobby group what I'm doing. I mean, I hope it helps them. I'm hoping it will strengthen up what I'm doing. But I do understand if people in the lobby group don't wish to join the IHI, it's the right decision for me. It may not be the right one for them. I'd like to think we can do a good enough job inside the IHI to convince them that it is the organisation to join. But it doesn't leave them anywhere. I mean, I've still been working very hard on their behalf. And over the last 10 days, I've been banging the drum quite hard to get numbers on people that work out of the area. I seem to I'm foot in both camps at the moment. I won't let my lobby group members down. Some of them have been with me for 12 months. And if something's not getting done on one hand, I should do it on the other.
Now that August the 1st is upon us virtually, and that three beds are anticipated to roll in fairly quickly, is there a role for the lobby group? Is the job done, or do you still see more challenges ahead?
Well, I suppose that's one of the points in making the decision. I think once implementation starts, then perhaps the lobby group isn't quite needed so much as it was. But who knows what's around the corner? Maybe we need resurrecting again. But I don't think so. I think I can do what I do from within inside the organisation now of IHI.
So am I sort of leading in here to a demise of the lobby group, or just
it isn't an organisation. The lobby group was resurrected again following the June 22nd announcement. It can only live while it has issues to fight. It is a lobby group and a pressure group. It has no structure in where it can actually help people with. I haven't got the resources to do anything else. In the lobby group, it simply was me, no admin backup, just simply me answering all the emails, sometimes a couple of hundred a day. So it had no legs on it to run anywhere else, really. If we get any more bad news, and I think we need to really bang on the drum again, then no doubt it will get picked up again. But perhaps not, because hopefully now I'm a member of IHI, maybe hopefully we'll be able to do it from within there.
Tell us about the other two players that the names I've heard is Shane O'Reilly. Not heard of him. Apologies, Shane, if you're listening. But I only read your name when I saw the announcement of the trusteeship. So what's his role?
Well, I hadn't heard of Shane until he was elected chairman a week last Saturday, I think it was. It's terrible. When you're busy with events, you do actually lose the sense of time. I think it was a week last Saturday. Shane's there to spearhead it. I met him last Wednesday for the first time when we went to London. He seems very dedicated to moving forward with the IHI, and so far I think that they've picked the right person.
And of course Tony Gordon, who is a founding member, if I can put that in the right terminology, now moves up to life president.
Yes, I think he deserves the role to be, he's put so much hard work into this, so I think he deserves to be recognised that without him it wouldn't be here. Tony, the reason I came into there was he wished to leave his trusteeship, then became a vacancy, and that's how it all happened, really. It was really me sitting down in his seat.
Apologies, Linda. Have you got your mouth? Hand over the microphone there at times. Just keeps muffling around again.
I've just closed my door to shut my puppets out because they look like they're going to start a barking contest. So I was moving around there.
Okay. So back on track, the IHI. Now, I'll be honest, I don't really know much about the history of the IHI. The name keeps coming up. But I was wondering perhaps if you take this opportunity to answer the criticism that seems to resurface now and again as to why they've been perceived, at least, as being inactive for a long time and just recently coming out on the bounce.
Well, I think what I've touched on before, Mike, it takes a long while to properly form these institutes, they have for the first time now got elected members. So the people that are now going to be running it are people that have been elected by the people that are inside it. I think it's very difficult from the outside to see what they're doing. Maybe their PR machine ought to be a bit more proactive in showing exactly the work they are doing. Hopefully from now on it will do. It is a new step. It's a whole new step for them. You know, new people elected by... People need to get inside it if they're not happy with what it's doing. I really do think from inside, it is for the members. The members can vote people on to council to represent them. If they're not doing their job, they can vote them out and get someone else to do it. One of the biggest criticisms has been the fact that it's for the HI and not to the DEA. Very, very shortly, in days rather than weeks, the DEA membership will outnumber the Home Inspector membership. But, of course, you've got to remember there were only Home Inspectors when it was started up, and the DEA role hadn't yet been created. One of my first concerns was that point when I was asked to join. I'm utterly convinced there is no layers, no snobbery there. It is an industry that really wants to represent both of them, and I really do think that is the way forward now.
I did sort of think similar, really, in the past when it's been voiced. You know, where have you been? Why aren't you shouting from the rooftops, etc.? When you've got committees to deal with, and when you've got to formalise everything, because I've read I've read some of the blurb on the site, and it's boring, to be frank. The actual, you know, the committee setup and the way it all has to be structured. But it's necessary. It's the legalese that's involved. But I would imagine at the same time, this does take time, and perhaps when you're going into it, you don't realise that, and it just unfolds as you go on. And before you know it, 6 months have passed by. And, you know, if I was to speak, if I can, objectively, if you were to put PR statements out saying what you were doing, it would be boring anyway, because where's the interest in saying, well, this week we got a document signed by a solicitor, for instance. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
There's nothing you can do until you're actually formalised and clear to go. And I guess this now is the time when you are, is it?
We're there now. Everything is in place. Now we are making moves to actually... Now we've been, if you like, legally recognised as an institute within the industry, we can now use that as a platform to move forward. One of the biggest things to me that came out of the CLG meeting, it's something that was in my mind when I joined IHI, and one of the reasons I joined it is we have made a serious play to become known as one of the major stakeholders. By saying that, I mean we want to sit on that panel alongside the likes of NAEA and RICS and the CML and AHIP. We believe we have a right to sit there, and we have made extremely strong representation at that meeting last Wednesday that we'd be considered on that panel. The only fly in the ointment with that is it's actually a panel that's sitting for home buying reform. They did query the fact whether home inspectors and domestic energy assessors had a role to play in that. We think we do. We think we can give valuable feedback, and we also think we can be very much one of the few members on that panel who are pro-HIP.
I hope they listen to us, Mike. Without DEAs, etc., the home doesn't get sold, does it?
No. We couldn't have made a stronger play.
Linda, because that was the other topic we were going to talk about today, is that meeting. You released a statement the other day. I don't know, AR. I guess it was the 19th of July. You had the meeting on the 18th, which was last Tuesday, wasn't it, I think?
Wednesday,
my apologies. How did it go?
Well, I think it was a very positive meeting. The most important question, the biggest question I had to ask was, is the 1st of August going to happen? Absolutely categorically replied that nothing would derail it. They were unanimous in that. So I said, you can look me in the eyes and you can tell me, go back to some of my members, and I can promise them there won't be a third kick in the teeth. Absolutely no. So I was utterly convinced when I left that room that 1st of August is on, and I'm still utterly convinced it's on, and I think that was the best news we could have had. I know it's not what we want. I know it's only a very small portion of the market, but once the wheels start moving, then everything else will click into place, I'm sure.
So August the 1st is definitely go-ahead day for four beds and over. Was there any mention of numbers of DEAs now in the sale? I know AHIPS have released, AHIP has released,
yes,
1999, but, you know, quite frankly, and I trusted their figures when they came out with 1595.
Yeah, yes.
And then, you know, three working days later, the government came out with their figures at 1603, which is a difference of 8. I've detailed it on the blog. So, in other words, between AHIP and government statements, 3 working days had passed and only 8 new bodies had accredited, which seems a significant downturn in accreditations. So it just leads me to start distrusting AHIP figures again. I don't know who's right or wrong. And if you heard the last podcast with Quidos, Philip Salomon, did you listen to it, Linda?
Sorry, hand up, no.
Bye.
I will listen to them all from now on, I promise you.
Well, he threw doubt on the figures, claiming that some of the figures are being double counted or triple counted, so not to trust the figures that are coming out. So that in mind, I mean, where are we supposed to stand?
Well, it's all irrelevant in a way, isn't it? Because the government will go by their figures, so I suggest we do the same. Because I do believe they inferred, they didn't give an actual figure last week, it's coming out early next week, but it's certainly, from what they inferred, nothing like the 1999. My understanding is, if it extrapolates out how it's going, they will reach their trigger point for the commencement order in the third week of August.
The third week of August, and then we've got to wait another 3 weeks after that.
Well, I did ask them that. I did say, actually, I don't know how the regulations are structured and the commencement order works, but surely if you can extrapolate out that it's, say, in 7 to 10 days you're going to hit it, could you not push the button early? They didn't really answer that one. I don't know if they know the answer to that one, actually, but I don't see why they can't actually foresee the thing's going to happen and then start the ball rolling.
Which is another thing you mentioned in the statement, I guess this is tied into why he couldn't answer that, is the regional coverage issue, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. This is, I think, not a serious issue, but it is potentially a problem. It's a problem I think we can help solve, and I think everyone really, really needs to work with me on this one. They were absolutely, I took an inch thick pile of emails of people that had actually come back to my call, if you like, and had said they would willingly work out of area. Obviously, we weren't talking about fees and that because I couldn't possibly compute that into the equation. They wanted that list. Can we have it? You know, they said the only area of concern they have is London. That is a concern not at four bed plus implementation. It's a concern when 3 beds come onto the agenda. Now, I said these people are willing to go out of area. They have. They said, can we have them? I said, well, some of them are very just a name and an email. So the chap in charge, I can't think of his name at the moment. He agreed to come up with a pro forma with all the information they needed, and he would let me have it as soon as possible. I'll then go back to everyone, and I'll also try and get others and get that filled out and get it back to them as soon as possible. They were very keen to work with us on that, Mike, and they were very, very pleased that we'd took the trouble to address the problem.
Well, let me throw this to you. If you'd have listened to the, not last week's podcast, but the week before, you would have heard a PM I had. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but he and another DEA had travelled out of area for another quite major panel who would ask them if they would take on these jobs. And it was out of area. They stayed at this other place, and I think it was over a 2 week period, 5 days, 300 miles round trip, so they really had to stay where they were going. And they were promised Now, this is bad preparation again, but I didn't realise I was going to come to this. But it was either 7 days or 30 days, but that's not the point, really. 45 days later, they had still not been paid. And that amounted to over £5,000. And subsequently, I've not heard from him since, but he was saying, I will have to leave this industry because I can't, basically fund the cash flow of a large company for this long. This is going to be a real problem, Linda, if many others follow suit.
That's right. I mean, I don't know how it's going to pan out, but what I am doing, I suppose, is putting these people in direct contact with the trouble area. I don't know how. I haven't seen the pro forma yet, Mike, so I don't know how the logistics are going to work. I'm looking forward to seeing that because that will help us how much information they need. But I'm hoping we're going to put people in direct contact with the people that need them and cut out this. It's not a panel providing this information to the government, is it? It's us directly giving us our name and our commitment to work out of area. I actually haven't got enough information on it yet, but I will do all I can to make sure that, that there's no third party involved in this.
It could come down to logistics then, though, because I can't see the government wanting to get involved with dishing out the jobs.
So it would either
fall on AHIP or yourselves.
Yeah, well, as long as, as long as I know what the job is, I'll take it on. It's just, we've just opened up debate with them on it. They're willing to work with us. I need to see what other players can help us in the game. But I think once we get their information back, it will help us formulate the plan a lot better.
Okay. What about Wales, though? I looked at the figures. Last time I looked, there was about 80 in Wales. Now, Wales is quite a large place, and there's a lot of sparse areas in Wales. I don't know how often you visit Wales, but I know when I used to go around the Snowdonia area and places like that, you can get houses halfway up hills on their own in the middle of nowhere. And 80 sounds a lot, but over a large area where there could be significant travel involved between properties, I'm wondering if there's enough coverage there. What do you think?
Well, the trouble is, we can't get the figures. It's something we've asked for, the figures on coverage, and we haven't got them. They told us London was their only area of concern. If we could get our hands on... Only the government have those figures. If someone can give me some evidence that it's Wales, then... We'll take up a little, we'll work on that angle as well. I know what you're saying. It seems obvious there ought to be a shortage there. But I don't know. I don't know what the figures are on how many houses sell, whether, I suppose, more houses sell within the London area, rate of sale. I'm completely in the dark. I have not been able to get my hand on those figures, unfortunately.
Okay. I noticed something else here that you've been asked by the CLG to prepare a national code of conduct for inspections.
Yes, that's right. It was a discussion item about code of practice and everything, and it really came up out of that discussion, and they asked us if we could come forward with that code, and that's something Shane took away with him, and I'm not involved with, but I think it's a very good idea.
All that covered, is it procedure or...?
I think it will cover the procedure. I mean, we've got all this hype in the media at the moment about CRB checks and that, and I think in any industry you do need a code of conduct, and I think it'll help our members very much to know how they should be acting. I know it all seems obvious, doesn't it? But it's always good to have a set of I was going to say rules, but I don't mean rules, but a set of guidelines to work to. If we can get that code of conduct together, it's probably a very good thing that we can use, against some of this negative publicity within in the media.
Isn't there already a code of conduct, though? No?
I'm not aware of one.
Okay. I would have thought, just looking at the modules concerned, that, Unit 1 is covering such things as code of conduct, really, isn't it?
I'm sure there's things within the training process, but there isn't a sort of national code of conduct. I think we're such a fledgling industry, aren't we? These things are... we're such there's never been anything like us before, and I'm not aware of, and the word is national. I think there are sort of codes of conduct from each sort of training provider, and perhaps within any you know agreements people have with the PAC providers and that, but I'm not aware of a national one.
About AHIP, I mean, when the government announced the subsidised EPCs for social housing, etc., well, for everyone, but social housing in particular, you had to have the AHIP code of conduct, or it was a code of conduct anyway that was tied to AHIP, who in turn wanted a fee of, I forget how much now, is it 500 quid, I can't remember. Are you not treading on their toes with this?
I hadn't thought about it. It's something that they've asked us to do. Hadn't even thought about it. But I do think now, I think in the early days of people registering for the social housing APCs, there was no room for sole traders to register. I think that's changed now. So it may be, you know, there may be people that are not dealing with PAC providers, they're going direct.
Okay. Another thing in the statement here is that questions were asked regarding the valuation module. IHI suggests statement by several groups confirming valuations are to be Red Book compliant will strengthen their appeal to founders, to funders. What does that mean?
Well, this is something Shane brought up, I'm probably not the best person to answer this, but I think it all boils down to the fact that the valuation module are the valuation module that people are taking. I think it's to cut out the. I think it's to get it so they can actually be taken long term to actually carry out valuations on behalf of the lenders and to cut out some of the red tape that RICS are imposing. I think Shane would be the best person. It's something I didn't bring into the meeting. It's something I've got probably as much background on, you know, or even less than you might. And I think it is to cut out the bureaucracy and to cut out the monopoly.
You fidgeting again there, Linda?
Am I?
Are you?
No, I think it's my signal. I've got a very poor signal on this phone, and I think it comes in...
Oh, is it a radio phone?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think it's not me moving. I'm sitting quite still, actually.
Okay. You're forgiven.
Thank you.
Sorry
about that. I'm not trying to put people off. It wasn't something that's close to my heart. I've never dealt with this, and... It really is trying to cut out, it is trying to make sure that people that do take the valuation module will be able to carry out, I believe, mortgage valuations and the like in the future.
All right. CLG announced expressions of interest to social housing EPCs has been made.
Yeah.
Details are available on their website. IHI expressed concern that DEAs and HIs are not yet being instructed. Right. Anything
right
to add to that?
Well, we did. We're told that's going. It's taken longer, I believe, than they thought to get their act together on it. I do. They are saying the work is coming. They have had a lot of interest on it. I think I mentioned earlier, I believe it was very difficult for sole traders to actually get onto the list to be offered the work. Unless someone comes to me and tell me that's still the case, I believe that's been dealt with, because that was a quiet concern. We obviously want this money to go into the pockets of the people that need it, the people that are not a part of companies, that are not employed. I think that has been dealt with. I think now there is every opportunity for individuals to actually earn some of this money. We're not there yet, but they're telling us it's going to happen very, very shortly.
It's just been a carrot that's been dangled. I mean, when this was, you know, when this new launch date was announced last month, invitations were going out immediately, you know, just so that DEAs could get experience under the belt, if nothing else. It was to tie everybody over until August the 1st, was it not? And yet, you know, they've still not really been rolled out, have they? Plus, there's been, from what I understand, a lack of enthusiasm, let's say, by the social housing people to take this work on. So,
I think the thing is these social landlords, these housing associations, I mean, I think their wheels are moving slower than, you know, setting up new institutions, and they have to go out to tender on everything, and everything takes so long. told Neil MacDonald in the first meeting we had immediately after the announcement that we thought the idea was a no-brainer, it was a sop, and there was no way he would get his act together before 1st of August. I think we're going to be proved right, but hey, if it adds a little bit more to work eventually, it's a good thing. It hasn't done what it set out to do. It was supposed to bring work in the interim period. It certainly hasn't done that, but hopefully it will bring extra work shortly to people while we're waiting for full implementation.
And what do you think about these players that are coming on, these little cheeky little players that are coming on offering £6 per EPC on social housing, as I understand it, just employing probably immigrants to go out there, however much they're charging, I don't know, just to do data gathering?
I'm a bit at a loss to know how people can go out there and do data gathering. Doesn't the EPC have to be carried out completely by the person who's accredited?
Well, yeah, I think maybe what they're planning on doing is just getting anybody to go out there and, you know, say you've got a social housing association that's got 500 properties, whatever, and they're just employing anybody with no experience to go into these places, and they're told, you know, measure this, measure that, bring back the paperwork, and we'll do the EPC, the people who are qualified, but they just do it en masse, if you like.
Right, well, I can't see it being a valid EPC on that basis.
I might be misunderstanding that, but that's what it sounded like to me.
Well,
just like a wholesale exercise, you can have, like, say, five qualified DEA sat in an office receiving data gathered by the foot soldiers en masse, and they will actually do all the crunching and submit to the HCR.
So what DEA would be silly enough to take that data on board and use it, knowing that the issues that could bring, without checking it themselves? I suppose there's a room for anybody to actually sub out their work, but I think it would be very foolish of anyone to do it.
Hmm. Would be an interesting loophole, though, couldn't it? Does a DEA have to physically be at a property?
I would have thought so. Without looking, I can't believe there's any loophole that would allow them to actually get someone else to do their legwork for them. But if there is, Mike, it certainly needs removing.
Difficult to prove as well, though, wouldn't it? Unless they...
You can't prove. If you want to be dishonest, you can do it in any industry, can't you? But...
Okay.
I'm just actually thinking, are they going to do it for just £6? You know, they get £10 for washing their car. I can't... £6 doesn't seem a lot out the whole thing, but...
But if you've got small flats, one-bed flats,
yeah,
let's say... You know, and you just say, right, just measure this, measure that, check the boiler, take some photos, go next door and do that one. And go next door and do that one. You can do 10 of these a day, I don't know, and we'll give you X amount each. Oh, the more you do, the more you get paid.
Yeah, if you want to be dishonest in any industry, you can work the system. I would have thought there's regulations in place to prevent that. I would have thought anything you enter on, any of your data, has to be collated by yourself. Now, if you want to break the rules, you can do that any time, can't you? I'm not sure it's a serious concern, but certainly we'll watch out for it, Mike.
Okay, I mean, that's not
aren't
really
they saying with social housing that, unlike in the new homes industry, aren't they saying that, like for like, if they're similar builds, you can actually do block EPCs? Or am I incorrect on that?
Well, this is it, isn't it? This might fall into that. I can't imagine this business model being rolled out to domestic homes, to be honest, because I don't think it would be financially viable for the people on the street doing it. They wouldn't be able to cover enough to make any money at those prices. But on a block basis, maybe they could. Maybe they could make it work. I don't know.
I think most people who have studied and got their diploma are going to have too much pride in their work to work like that.
Okay. What else have we got then?
I don't know. We seem to have exhausted everything on the list from the meeting. I'm just trying to think of anything else that was important at the meeting for people to know. it's very difficult because you have a room full of people and it's, you know, it's hard to actually, you can pick up on the things you're really interested about. You do tend to miss some of the minor issues. Mm. But we haven't had the minutes come out yet from the meeting. That's something, I think I ought to chase. I've given them long enough, haven't I? But I think I'd just like to summarise by saying, you know, on the meeting that the most important thing was we're in business. That's the biggest thing. After a long, long, long time of upset and uncertainty, and I need everybody's help to help the government sort out the regional coverage problem. We can't let that spanner in the work get into the works after all that's happened. And just hope, very much hope, they see us as a major player in the game and allow us to sit alongside all those people that have done nothing but try and wreck the whole thing.
What want people to do, Linda? Do you want people to express their willingness to travel? Are you concerned about particular areas or just a blanket call to action?
Well, I don't think it would hurt for anyone who would be willing to travel to contact me anyway. The government has said it's only London, but I'm not one of these people that takes things for granted. So anyone, I've already had an awful lot of people, but as many as possible, contact me. Just email me. If I get that email, when I get the government pro forma through, I will make sure you all get a copy of it, and we'll put together our own little hit squad and sort it out.
I know you've been manually, painstakingly emailing people by hand, by yourself.
Yes.
Did you get any use of that out of that software I advised you to use?
No, couldn't work it.
I knew you'd say that.
Do not let people think I sat there and did nearly 1,500 emails manually. They would think, what a Charlie. But I did. I couldn't. So, you know, good job I'm a nocturnal creature like my cat. Like, if I needed my sleep, I'd have been in a bit of a state at the moment.
Well, this is probably why they invited you on, because you are such a hard worker.
I just like my mission. I'm never happier than when I'm on a mission.
Okay.
Regional coverage is the new mission.
Regional coverage. So everybody get involved. I think, you know, well, the email address, Linda, if they need it, one.
Okay, linda@grayshomes.com, L-I-N-D-A at Grays, grayshomes.com. I think it's probably one of the most well-known emails in the industry, but we genuinely do want to get people together to help with this problem. I certainly detected the same genuine concern, whether people scorn it or not, from the CLG. They want to get hips going. They don't want to be embarrassed by this. The media will jump on it like a shot if three beds come in London and it all goes terribly wrong. And that's the last thing any of us want.
Well, like I've said, you know, in past podcasts you've never listened to, Linda, people have to move home. And if they can't because of this, because they can't get one of these documents, then there's going to be hell to pay by somebody.
I have to apologise for missing some of your podcasts, Mike. I will try and pay better attention in future.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I have had a busy 2 weeks. That's probably one of my excuses I'll try and use.
It's not washing with me, kid. I'm questioning your whole commitment to this whole thing now.
Anybody
who knows anything in this industry is listening to these podcasts. How else can he stay up to date?
I know. How can she be serious? She misses Mike C's podcast.
Exactly. Even Yvette Cooper listens to it when she's had a smoke, I believe.
Yeah.
You need a smoke, I guess.
It's great to think these are making new policies while they're stoned. It might actually get some sense back into government.
Clearly.
Oh dear.
Right then, so
yeah, okay.
Let me just spell out once again, because I think you got cut off when you were spelling out your email there. It's
okay.
Linda, that's pretty obvious, L-I-N for Neil, D-A, at Grays Homes, that's G-R-A-Y-S-H-O-M-E-S,
.com.
And just a reminder, folks, that love to get any feedback or anything you want to say for our podcast celebrating the launch on August the 1st, email podcast@energy-performance-certificates.org. That is a mouthful to say. I wish there was a better domain when I bought it. Anyway, I think that's about a wrap now, unless you've got anything else to say, Linda?
No, just to hope everybody gets lots of work from the 1st of August. Good luck to you all.
Ditto that. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening once again. Bye-bye. I thought there was something else to say there, but it's Sunday, isn't it? It's just a lazy round day. Say goodbye, Linda.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Cheers for listening. Bye-bye. Performance.